the future here. And I pray these sermons might stimulate you for be praying for your families and your loved ones are not living for the Lord, may not be saved. It may stimulate you because Jesus Christ, I believe, is coming back very, very soon. It may be before that we leave this place today. The day of Noah is today. We are living on the edge of eternity. Edge of eternity, either for you and I, that we might have a solo flight, or either the eternity that Jesus Christ is going to come back, rapture the church, 7-year tribulation, and after the 7-year tribulation, there'll be a 1,000 reign of Christ, and then we know that eternity will begin. We're not waiting for any scripture to be fulfilled. Every sign that you see, and there are signs that are happening all over, and that's what I'll be preaching on, is these signposts, these mileposts. But these mileposts is not telling us about the rapture, they're telling us about the tribulation. And we know closer and closer that the tribulation gets to us, or we get to the tribulation, we know the rapture is before the tribulation, that God's people will be raptured out of this world. We know these signs as we see them. And these signs tell us, if we want to know, these signs are in the Word of God. That God warned Noah and his family, and he preached for 120 years and warning to the people around him that there are going to be a flood. Get in the ark. And I pray that you understand the ark of safety is Jesus Christ for you and I today and our family, our loved ones, and our friends. If they're not in the ark, they will be destroyed. They need to understand the signs of the time. The Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, is already on the scene today, been here for many years. You will not know who the Antichrist is. Christians will not understand. There's been a lot of speculation for many years of who the Antichrist is. Is he here today? He may be born, he may be a grown man, he may be already here today. I believe he is, but you will not know it, I will not know it, until after the rapture of the church. Antichrist will be revealed. He will step foot on the throne of the pages of the world as one world order begins of the tribulation time. One world government. One world power. One world currency. One world politically. One world religion. Can you see that happening today? We're moving in that direction, and the signposts are passing by at a very rapid speed as we're living in this generation. As I said, I believe that this generation, my generation, is the greatest generation has ever lived on the face of this earth. I believe that my generation, that some of us will be living by the rapture of the church, and we will not go through death, that we will be here of the rapture of the church. Jesus Christ said, when that nation begins, let's talk about the nation Israel for 1,500 years. The nation Israel did not have a land or a homeland. They were brought back in 1948. And it says, this generation, talking about when you was born, was you born from 1948 or before? This generation he's talking about. Jesus Christ is going to come back. What do we need to look for? I hope it spurs you this hour to think about what to look for on these mileposts as they're passing by at this rapid speed. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36 through 42, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. But as the day of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the day that they were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marriage and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. That tells us you may have to say goodbye to some of your loved ones, your family, your friends. One be taken, one be left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken, the other one left. Watch, therefore, for you know not what the hour your Lord doeth come. Let us pray. Father Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for this great opportunity to live this side of eternity. Father, we thank you for the blessings of the season, the time of the year of your coming to this earth, the great missionary, Lord. It brought, Lord, salvation to everyone, Lord, that believe in you. Father, we just want to thank you for what great blessings we have through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today, our loved ones and our family. But Father, we know, Lord, that you're coming back. You came the first time. Father, we know that you're coming again. So, Father, we just pray, God, that our minds will be understanding the words of God. Father, our hearts will be ready, Father, for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we believe the signpost is now at hand. We believe, Father, Lord, that right now, Father, at any moment, any time, any hour, any second, Lord, that you shall appear. Father, we just thank you and praise you for all the blessings, Lord, you give us this day. Pray for those, Brother Rosie, James, and other on our prayer list this hour. And we thank you for this blessing today in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And amen and amen. As I said last week, I hope that you got the outline last week. And I thought I could preach all six of them. I don't know what I was thinking about. But I got to one of them. And that one of those mileposts was spiritual departure from God. Spiritual departure from God and spiritual departure from the Word of God. The times of Noah is the times of day. Can you see the spiritual departure today in the land that we are living in and the world that we are living in today? There is mighty, mighty signs today. As I said, those signs are not telling us that the rapture of church is going to take place, but it's telling that the great tribulation is going to take place and the rapture of church must come first. So we know that we're very close to the rapture of the church. In Matthew chapter 24 and 12, it says, "And because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Iniquity is abounding today. They said we've always had murder. We always had sin. That's true from the Garden of Eden. Abel kills Cain. But look at the great murders that we have today. It is increasing, and all type of iniquity shall abound. Why? Because the love of many have waxed cold. Just as sure as Jesus Christ came the first time, he's coming again. And many missed the glories of his first coming because they did not believe the word of God and was not prepared for the first coming. The first coming, Jesus Christ came at this Christmas time 2,000 years ago, and it says in the Word of God there was no room for him at his first coming. But when he comes a second time, he's going to come to inherit this earth today. The first coming, we know that Jesus Christ came. He came to a cross to be crucified as we have the Lord's Supper here this night to show you what he'd done for us at Calvary's cross. But next time he's coming for rule and to reign this nation. The first time he came, you know, he came and he hung upon a tree. The next time he's coming, he comes to set upon a throne of the world. The first time, you know what? He stands before Pilate. But the second time, you know what? He comes, that Pilate will stand before him. The first time he comes as a humble servant, but the next time he's going to come as a sovereign king of Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Matthew chapter 24, the events leads to the end of the ages that you and I are living in today. Whether you believe it or not, there are a lot in Noah's day did not believe it. 120 years he preached that this world was coming to an end as they knew it. All mankind, all flesh upon this world will be destroyed. They did not believe that for 120 years. The sound of Noah's hammer hammered out the word of God, but people did not believe it. Today, across this nation, across the world today, the word is being preached that you know that the end of time is coming as you and I know it. The time of the rapture of the church and the great tribulation is starting. Jesus Christ is going to appear again in the second coming in the sky. He's going to call us home to be with him in the air. And then after that, 7-year hell on earth is going to happen, and then Jesus Christ is going to come back with you and I, his saints, to this earth, land on this earth, and reign and rule for the millennial. That is another 1,000 years of the reign of Jesus Christ. People did not believe in Noah's days that he was going to come. That the flood was going to come, but it came anyway and done away with all those who did not believe except Noah and his family. As we look at this end of these events passing by, the climax begin. In verse 36, we see, it says, 38, "For in that day they were, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark." What are we talking about? Well, we're talking about this milepost now, the second milepost for the social distress. Always we know and understand what's happening as I put these in order of these six events going to take place. Spiritual departure from the Word of God, the things of God, always bring in social distress. We are having social distress upon this world that you and I are living in, especially upon the United States today that we love so dear. It says they was married and they was given in marriage. The United States has already passed this signpost because we don't even marry anymore. The only hope of this nation, the only hope of this world today is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Do you want to know what it was, this milepost that we're passing by the day? Just look at the condition and what existed in Noah's days and compare them to the Word of God, not what some preacher says, even what I'm saying today, but you compare what God says in His Word to the day that you and I are living, and you come to your own conclusion by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God revealed to you that we're living in the last days. Genesis chapter 4, chapter 5, and chapter 6 reveals the five signs that I wrote for you here this morning is happening in our very eyes today because of social distress, because of the lack of understanding of the Word of God, and it all because of the spiritual departure from the Word of God and the Word of God and God Himself that we're seeing in our country that we live in today. These signs, these five signs, these five more signposts, as you may say today. Conclusion of Noah's day is parallel to everything that you see is happening today. It's not no happenstance. God said it's going to happen, and it's happening right before your eyes. We need to wake up and see what's happening in our country that you might, why? Why? What can we need to wake up for? Because there's a lot of families, loved ones, friends, and neighbors are not living for Jesus Christ and not in the ark of safety of Jesus Christ. And He comes back, they're going to face the Antichrist. Understand? He's coming back, whether you believe it or not, in order to stir your hearts, your soul. To be praying for your loved ones and your family and your friends today. God has a warning for this world today, and the warning is you better get right because I'm coming again. We used to have hide and go seek. You know what? You'd count to 50 or 25 and you'd say, okay, ready or not, here I come. And I'm going to tell you, the people in Noah's day was not ready, but He says, I'm coming in our day. They was not ready for the flood, but God sent the flood anyway. You may not be ready. People is not ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. A lot of people, even Christians, do not believe that Jesus Christ is coming again. 2,000 years has done passed by. He have not come. But I'm going to tell you what the Word of God said. He is coming again. Social distress. The milepost, the breakdown with sexual morals in our country, in our world today, of the social distress that we're having. Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of this earth, daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Population explosion in Noah's days, also in our day today. And around the world, we're having a population explosion. If you don't believe it, ask Miss Wendy. We're having a population explosion. I'm going to tell you, the people, we're doubling. Over 7 billion people. You know what they tell us? This world cannot sustain to feed the people of the world. We know, people knows, that they're going to be great starvation at the rate we're going. It's not when. It's going to happen. It's going to happen when. Whole nations are going to starve to death. You better read that in a tribulation time. It's going to happen. All these signs are showing you that they're ready and prepared for hungry and starvation. Used to, you know what, we had stockpiles of food in this country. And we fed from the stockpile of people of the world today, but now we have no longer stockpiles. They tell us that we're being fed from the field to your mouth. No longer stockpile. I don't have time to go in that because I'm going to miss this social distress if I don't stop where I'm at and get into these issues. Sexual moral that we have lost today. We're facing this. The basic laws of marriage are being broke down. Would you agree with that today in our world and our society today? Marriage and giving in marriage, it said. And this was more than one wife. This was not God's plan in Noah's days. Listen to what it says in Genesis chapter 4 in verse 19. And Lamech took unto him two wives. That was not God's order. The name of the one was Adar and the other was Zilla. Two wives. That was not God's plan. Jesus said in the gospel, God's plan for one woman, one man, till death do us part. But already in Genesis chapter 4, in a time of Noah's day, it said, you know, they already began to do away with God's word of what God said. Already more than one wife. It is sex perversion. Noah, the sex immorality and perversion they had even in his day. The restraint had been removed from society in Noah's day. What's happening in our day today? Remove God, every mention of God, God's word from every fabric of ever all of our civilization today. Get God out of it. What's happening when you do? The restrictions of God is being removed from every fiber of everything that we have in our society today. Social distress, sexual immorality has become our country and our world today. To move it away, take the Bible out of school, take the Bible out of everything, take the Word of God. They want to take it off of our daughters. Get God out of everything, because when you do, they know the restrictions will be removed from society and everybody do what's right in their own eyes. Not what God says, but what man says. Wickedness, it says, was great. Immorality. Myself, I can remember back 50 and 60 years ago, even when the divorce was very, very unusual. And all the other things we have from 1960 to 2000 that I read just those few years, from 1960 to year 2000, illegitimate birth went up 400%. And that's been 15 years ago. I don't know what it is today. There are no illegitimate children, just illegitimate parents today. And sexual perversion concerning marriage and sex. Luke chapter 17 and verse 26, listen to what Jesus Christ said. And it was in the day of Noah, so shall it also be in the day of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also it was in the day of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the days when the Son of Man is revealed. This is Jesus Christ speaking to you this morning, not this preacher behind this pulpit. It don't matter what a preacher says, it's matter what God says. I'm not saying this, he is. Today, he says, destroyed them all. The day of Noah, and the day of Noah is come today. Likewise, also it was in the day of Lot. Well, what was it in the day of Lot? What was it like in the day of Lot? The sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. What was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah? Homosexuality. That's what it was. God says, you've gone too far, nation. And I want to show you what God said in his word. He said, you know what? I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for the United States or any other nation. If you allow this to happen in your country, I'm going to destroy that country. It don't matter if it's the United States or wherever else. If you don't believe it's wrong, God says it's wrong, you better believe the word of God. Now, I'm going to tell you, to be politically correct, you cannot say that homosexuality today is a sin. To be politically correct. But God says it's a sin. Mr. President, he has evolved. He ought to be careful of that word when he says that, hasn't he? But he has evolved to where now he says, you know what, it's just an alternate lifestyle. And the Supreme Court judges, the liberals, and the whole followers of those liberals, this president, said it's all right, laws are being passed for these liberals. And remember what a liberal is. They deny the basic foundation of the truth. God says it's sin. Listen to what he says in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them commit an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. God said it's sin enough to get killed over at that day and time. God's economy, the Old Testament law, the sin of homosexuality was death. The breakdown of sexual morality. the sin of homosexuals, perversion, transmitted disease, building God's judgment. We say AIDS. What about it? Romans 1 and 27 says, and likewise also the man leaving the natural use of a woman, burning in their own lust one towards another, men with men working that which is unseemly. It says, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. What does it mean? It means that due penalty for their sins of error. Now, as I said, AIDS. Everybody with AIDS is not guilty of that sin. How about a child that's born in this world with innocent because of the mother with AIDS? How about a doctor in the medical profession and nurses have caught AIDS because of trying to help somebody have caught AIDS? Well, the back kick of sin, you know, it affects other people than just ourselves. Deuteronomy 5 and 9, listen to what it says, mothers and fathers today. You think it's all right to raise your kids away from God's house and God's family? Listen to what it says. Deuteronomy 5 and 9 says, thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, that's other gods, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Visit the iniquity of the fathers upon their children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. I'm telling you, God said, I will visit them. You're causing problems in your homes, mothers and fathers, that those are not here today, but my word will not come back to me void. The Spirit of God was talking to them. And they will not come back into me void. You mean to tell me God will hold the children responsible? Not necessarily that, but listen. If a man decides to commit suicide and gets up upon a big building and jumps out, and before he jumps out, he grabs his little baby in his arms and jumps out with a little baby in his arms, the man's going to die. But the baby also is going to die. Because of his decisions. Mothers and fathers, they making decisions that hurting their children. The decisions they're making not to serve Jesus Christ and worship him are hurting their children. It will come back. God said it will. Now the day the suffering that child suffered was in the arms of that man. Children are suffering today, mothers and fathers. No time to commit yourself to the things of God. The children will suffer. God gave them warnings, the mileposts of social distress are being passed before our eyes. God sees this world and God sees this country and the lifestyle of the young people today. He says, I live any way I want to. God says, no, you won't. What's God going to do about when the young people say, I live any way that I want to? Let me tell you what God's going to do about it. Romans chapter 1, verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own body between themselves. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affection, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And even as they did not like to attain God in their knowledge, God says, you shall not. They said, I don't want to attain God in my knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are inconvenient. God, what's God going to do about it? Here is the answer. You know what God's going to do about it? Those people want to live that way. They know better. The Spirit of God, the Word of God, even some of them claim to be Christian. You know what God's going to do about it? He gave them up. You know what that means? One of the worst things can happen to anybody. God is going to leave them alone. God is going to leave them alone. If they're a child of God, there's a sentence of death. God said, don't pray for that. They've already passed that deadline. There's a sentence of death. If they're a child of God and they think they can get by, God will leave them alone. Where would you be today if God left you alone? One of the worst punishments that a mankind can have whenever God says he already crossed that deadline. That's for a saved person. And God's going to leave them alone. God gave him up to a reprobate mind. What is that? What is a reprobate mind? Is a lot of the younger generation have today that they'll live and do any way they want to, regardless of what God says. God says, I'll turn them over to a reprobate mind. What is that? It is a mind that is unable to distinguish from right or wrong. That's where our generation is at today, the young generation. Because it took the Word of God out. They liberals today is denying the basic foundation of all truth. And people vote for these people. Even Christian people vote for these people. The United States is saturated with this society of everything is all right. Noah's Day, the milepost. The future is here. Social distress. The second thing, the breakthrough in scientific progress in Noah's Day. Noah's Day, you think there was a bunch of hicks? You think a bunch of people walking around with clubs over their shoulder killing something for something to eat? They was very intelligent people. The Bible tells us that. Great inventions and advanced knowledge in the time of Noah's days. It says, men of renown, the great minds of mankind. Genesis chapter 4 and 17, it says, builders of cities. Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. And he built cities and called the name of them cities after the name of his son Enoch. They began to build great cities. It would make old Donald Trump look like ashamed of himself today, the great cities that some of them built at that time. Genesis chapter 4 and 22 says, they was made brass and iron at that early age of mankind. They already knew how to make brass and iron. The Industrial Revolution was already there at Noah's days. The technology was at Noah's days. The revolution, the knowledge to build an ark. Can you imagine what God gave the mind of mankind today, but also in Noah's day? 450 feet long, 150 by 45, 3 million cubic feet inside that ark. I'm going to tell you the knowledge that God had given them. It'd make the Titanic, and I got a message on that too, but the Titanic, it'd make it ashamed of itself, of the knowledge of mankind at that time. I'm living in one of the greatest generation, I said before, has ever been on the face of this earth. I myself plowed a mule. Weren't good at it, but there was a lot of farms that used mules to plant and plow their farms when I was a young child coming up. I have lived to see people following mules. I've lived to see that man walked on the moon. Another sermon that mankind has split the atom of the atomic bomb as we get to it. I believe that I'm living in the greatest time that ever been in the history of mankind, my generation. The future is here. You see, the breakdown in sexual morals, but a breakthrough in scientific progress and the breakout of secular ideology is here upon us today. What in the world is that all about? Satan inspired of this ideology you find out that a president and a bunch of those liberals have today. And what it's all about in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. I'm here to tell you God's going to do something about the fate that was delivered to Adam in the Garden of Eden by sin. Abel killed Cain. I got tongue-tied. Marshall, help me out. At that time, the faith that was gave to Adam began to recede across the history of mankind. And a lot of us here today can see the receding of the faith in our country from time that you was a child and the time that a lot of us went to school, the time that you are living today, the future is here. Never would I have thought that I'd see the things in my lifetime that I'm seeing as a young man coming up. I would never would have dreamed this world would have changed so fast. But today it's here. It's just like an ocean, and the waves coming in is getting further and further out all the time. The ocean of God's grace. And it says even the imagination of mankind. What in the world is the word imagination? This word comes from molding pottery. Of mankind, of molding pottery. You know, today, we have leaders in our country, and the biggest one is what we call the president, which he's not a president, he is a king. This president and all his followers, regardless of who they are, support this fashion of wickedness and their ideology of making a pottery of this country. Did you know they are remolding our country? His ideology is remolding the very fabric of this nation, what it was woven into. He wants to do away what we was raised and grew up on. This imagination, ideology of him, he is molding it again. Forming into his own mold, making this country mold. Everything he does is not protect the nation that we're living in, but to remold this nation and what he sees fit. And I'm going to tell you what, old Rick Brown said it right. God sent him upon our nation as judgment upon this nation. As judgment upon this nation, as remolding this nation. And we'll never know it again like we have known it whenever I was a child. The spiritual departure that I talked about last week has brought social distress. And these three things, to understand the substitute now of the spiritual departure, what happens of this ideology that we have in this president and all of his liberals that votes for him and carries with him the issues of this man. The substitute of this spiritual departure is the substitute of man's mind for the Word of God. It is a substitute. His ideology is a substitute of man's mind from the Word of God. That's where we at. That's where his mind is. He's got a mind of man. He substituted it because he don't believe in the Word of God. There are no absolutes if you take away the Word of God. Spiritual departure leaves us with social distress. People don't even argue what's right or wrong anymore. Everybody does what's right in their own eyes. They did it in times of Judges. Creates their own truth. Secularism today. Take over. Noah's days. That day of scientific explosion that day. Ideology, education. The mileposts were coming closer to the tribulation people. Get ready for the Antichrist. There's one world order is already forming right before our very eyes. Politically. They're coming together politically for a one world order. Economically, they're coming together. They're going to be a one world currency. They're coming together. Going to be a one world religion. And the only religion today is called religion is Christianity. We cannot let down our fundamental issues for all the religion of the world. And that's the reason there's so much hatred. That's the reason there's a war against Christianity. Because we cannot do away with the virgin birth, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If we do, we'll cease to be Christians. And that's what's coming to this world today. And that's the reason we're having a war against Christianity today. Because we're the honest religion that cannot let down our guards. And we can't do away with our fundamental issues of Christianity today. All the other religion of the world is molding together in a smudge pot of religion. It's coming before our very eyes today. Fourth thing, the breakup of the social system that we know it today. The social system we have today. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 11, it said, the earth was corrupt before God and earth was filled with violence. Should I say any more? In Noah's day, it was filled with violence. Should I say any more? Today, the Islamic terror that we have, and it's going to grow in this country because of this president and the leaders behind him, his ideology towards them, is coming, and many more people is going to die in this country. He's a sympathizer with the Muslim faith. He is a sympathizer because he is raised under a Muslim household. He can say he's a Christian all he wants to. Putting a car under a garage don't make it a garage. I'm going to tell you, this man, every time that we see any time of this mass murder, he says it's always guns. Always guns. God wants to move away from the great issue of the heart. He sympathized with the Muslim issue and against Christianity. Always guns. They want to take up certain types of gun. I'm going to tell you, if everybody in this church had a machine gun, it would not cause any of you to go out and kill somebody. Mr. President, you toad frog. You will never turn into a prince. Do I need to say more? You know what it said? You know when they said to pray for these people? Don't pray. God's not going to do nothing about it. God's going to do something about it. We're an old-fashioned church. I went to school in an old-fashioned school. And I'm going to tell you what I like to see. I like to see us be old-fashioned right on. I really do. I like to see some of these old-fashioned issues be brought back. Noah's days. But then you see there was a sudden judgment. There's a sudden judgment. Genesis chapter 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. God shortened it 70, possibly by 80 now. That ain't but 80. God has shortened the days. He said, my spirit might not always strive with man. You know what he's saying by that? The spirit of God's always been here. It was there in the Garden of Eden. It was there whenever God made Adam and Eve, or Adam. But you see, the spirit of God has different ministries as we cross the pages of time of mankind. He had the Holy Spirit of God had a different ministry in the Old Testament time. He come upon people. In the New Testament time, if you was here Wednesday night, you can understand that, you know, when Jesus Christ says, I need to go away because it's better for you that I go away. You know, when I go away, I'll send a comfort back with you, because I told you last Wednesday night, it's better for you to be here this morning in this place with Jesus Christ in your heart and then walking on the shores of Galilee with Jesus Christ by your side. It's better to have Jesus Christ in you than have Jesus Christ by you. The Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, we call it, has been now here for 2,000 years in the hearts of people and will never leave that person till they're raptured away or they die. But after the rapture of the church, the Spirit of God is going to be lifted up, and he'll still be here, but he will not have the same ministry going through the 7-year tribulation on this earth. There will be another ministry for the Spirit of God. There'll be another ministry for the Spirit of God, of the 1,000 reigns of Jesus Christ on this earth. And it says there in Genesis chapter 3, my spirit might always strive with man for 120 years. For 120 years in Noah's days, the sound of the hammer. Today I'm preaching to you, and the hammer of God's word upon this nation, I'm telling you right now, they would not hear it in his days, and they will not hear it in our day. By the way, it don't make no difference. God still sent the flood. Jesus Christ is going to come back. Genesis 6 and 13 said, and God said unto Noah, the end of flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. 2 Peter 2 and 5, and spare not this old world, but save Noah the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. The flood came. The raging water of God's wrath is beating against God's grace. Genesis 6 and 17 says, and behold, I even do this, a flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under the heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. He says, Noah, come into the ark. And it said in the word of God that God shut the door. God shut him in. When you come to Jesus Christ, I hope you come this morning. You're in Jesus Christ, and God is the door. I am the door. He shuts the door. He said, I shut the door, no man open. When I open the door, no man shut it. He's opening the door of grace for you this hour in which we are living in today. 2 Peter 3 and on, it says, know this first, that there shall come these last day scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the waters, whereby the world that men was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment, the perdition unto ungodly men. The first time God says flood with water, he said, I'll send a rainbow in the word of God that you'll never have to worry about God ever doing that again. He'll never destroy this world with water. The next time it'll be reserved by fire. Fire's coming. You talk about global warming, Mr. President, it's going to be warm one day for you. It's going to be warm one day in this world. rejecters of Jesus Christ, when Noah stepped into that ark, he left everything in the outside world. He had nothing left. But when he stepped out of that ark, he inherited the whole world, the new world. Jesus says, if you'll come unto me and leave everything behind, just come just like you are. Leave this old world behind and you come unto me. But you see, he says, you'll also step into a new world. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. A new world for you in Christ Jesus. Would you like to have that today? I hope we come with a song of invitation that God has visited you this morning in a very special way. That we have mileposts passing by at a very rapid speed. And I hope it triggers your heart to see your family and your loved ones. Are they living for Jesus? To understand what the Word of God said. They will not believe the truth. That is the Word of God. They will not believe the truth. I myself, God says, that I'll send them strong delusions. That's a group of people that had a chance to be saved. And I'll tell you, everybody has got their name on the roll of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. I do not believe they're saved. Everybody got their name on rolls of other churches. I don't believe they're all saved. Being a church member will not save you. It is Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, if you go to the foot of Jesus Christ as Noah went into the ark, it was big enough for everybody. Whenever you come to the foot of that cross, it'll be big enough for everybody to look up to Jesus Christ. And I tell you, you'll see the love of Jesus Christ as we have here. We're going to have the Lord's Supper tonight and see what Jesus Christ done for you. And to remember that, I don't believe there's anybody can look up to Jesus Christ and see what he done for you and know that you're saved and do not love the things that Jesus Christ loves. It's just not in the Word of God. He says, ready or not, here I come. I believe Jesus Christ is going to come back. It's going to be mighty soon. Are you ready? Is your family ready? Sure would hate to say goodbye to some of my family members. I'll never see you again. Because the rapture comes, they had a chance. The Holy Spirit of God has moved their heart. They've been a church worship servant. They knew that they were saved and they knew they needed to be saved. No, they wasn't saved. They needed to be saved. And the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God was working on their heart. But they say, no, 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 no. They know they could have been saved if they would just admit it, that they was a sinner and they needed to be saved, that God would save them. They turn around and walk out. Jesus Christ comes back. They won't believe the truth. God says, I'll send them strong delusion. The people he's talking about will never, ever want to be saved. You mean in a tribulation, you see the fire falling from heaven? No, they won't want to be saved. They won't want to be saved. They are haters of God. They're haters of God. They're haters of God. And they always will be. There'll be multitudes of people saved in a tribulation time, but not those living on this side of the rapture has had an opportunity to be saved. Is there one here today? Some of your family members, your loved ones. I hope that you understand it's getting close. God bless you this morning.